So, what happened in your practice? Yeah?
Actually, it's not as good as the last time. But yesterday I grabbed last, and I thank class. I feel I have the mindset more clear because I did say that, but I don't feel that in the heart. It's just that the hours, I could not, because last time of 3 hours or at least two is nothing. But this time I just couldn't, you know, but I wasn't unhappy, but I just could not. And then he said, the heat may have, so I felt better. I wasn't unhappy, but I just noticed that, why could not I, but it was very, it is very hot. But so he said that sometimes, so I'm like, oh, okay. But other than that, and the walking, I don't walk during the day because where I stay, there's no shade. So, but other than that, nothing new. I don't get off now because I didn't know any now.
So how long did you sit?
Usually at least an hour, but I mean I make it a point to, other than the when it's very short, but when I seriously sit at least, but I just could not make it 2-3 hours. I just couldn't.
Yeah, but how long? 2 hours?
Almost. But not every time, but at least an hour. Okay. Other than the really short time, that doesn't count. Making, but it's not
me,
of course, for the whole hour, but
no, I mean that is not so important.
But I had asked you way back that I do have my little clock here because at least an hour, so not an hour, so I go back in. Mm. But I do, I mean, I come out for an hour,
And that's okay for the beginning. What?
When I'm back in Bangkok, at least the physical, I have no like excuse or anything to think that, oh, I can't, somehow it doesn't go on because the temperature-wise I can control.
Mm-hmm. So how many hours do you do at home?
The minimum is an hour.
No, I mean all together during the day.
Not 8.
See? It's about 3 or 4, or 2.
Depending on the day, yes.
So.
But I took your advice that sometimes when I come back at home, because when I go out, I have a lot of activities in Bangkok, and you said if I'm so tired in the morning, I took that advice, and in the morning, because at night sometimes I'm just so tired, and it helps.
Well, don't worry. Be happy and be born again and 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 again. But for this, you don't need me. I don't need to give instruction for this. I'm only interested, you know, people who really want to find the path out of dukkha. And that is some really serious work. When we look at our life, I mean, this we have to do, that we have to do, that, those things we have to do. When we live in the life, I mean, there is no end of this and that. There is just no end. And even before, you know, if you die the next day, I mean, even the day before, we want to do this and we want to accomplish that, and this has to be done and that has to be done. I mean, if you can't cut that down, I mean, how can we ever find the way out? If you run around, always trying to avoid the unpleasant situations, sooner or later, we come into a situation where we can't avoid it. And then we can't deal with it, we get angry or we get, you know, any kind of bad emotions. There's a famous sutta, you know, where Ananda and the Lord Buddha in the morning went on Pindapath. And they called, you know, when they went through the city or through the town, they called them camel heads, you know, bald-headed and, you know, all sorts of names. So then the Ananda said to the Lord Buddha, I mean, Lord Buddha, we should go to another city. And then the Lord Buddha replied, and what happens if they call us the same names over there? And then we go to another city. And then if at that city, you know, they call us the same names, you know, what do we do? Where do we end up? There is no way that we can avoid these things. Avoiding is not the path that leads out of dukkha. And we do it all the time. We avoid this situation because it's unpleasant. We avoid that situation because it's unpleasant. We're just avoiding anything. Not knowingly or not really conscious about it. We're just avoiding it. We have this to do and we have that to do just to avoid certain things. And there is no end. Just like the Lord Buddha said, you know, I mean, even if you go to the end of the world, I mean, you will still find people who call you this name and that name. So, I mean, we have to. And that shows us, this example really shows us, I mean, the only place where we can get rid of this is the heart. And that is right here, wherever we are, there's the heart. So when we try to avoid these unpleasant situations, especially physical situations, I mean, how can we get rid? How can we get rid of our attachment? The attachment to the body, the attachment to feeling, the attachment to our thoughts, to our memory, and especially to the past and the future. And we are so attached to it. You know, we always want to think ahead, you know, what I'm going to do in the future. You know, we want to plan ahead. What is going to happen? How I'm going to deal with this situation? How I'm going to deal with that situation? What am I going to do in those situations, you know? I mean, the future has not arrived. The only thing, you know, where we can react is the present moment. That's the only place where we can change things. In the present moment, the past has gone. It doesn't appear anymore. We cannot change anything that we have done in the past, however much we regret it. We cannot change the past, and we cannot live in the future, because the future has not arrived. It's only thought that make up the future. Are you clear of that? Are you aware of that? It's only thought that is the future. It is not a real experience, the future. The future has not come yet. And however the future is, that we will see in that present moment. And that present moment has disappeared, that moment is past. So in the present moment, that's where we can do things. And that's when we are aware, that's where we can correct the things. But the future, I mean, always thinking about the future. What I'm going to do next week, what I'm going to do next month. This I have to do in... Why don't we then think, you know, what do I have to do in my next life? Because that is going to, you know, certainly continue in our next life. So what am I going to in my next life? Oh, in this life, you know, I wanted to become a doctor, but I couldn't, you know. So in my next life, I become a doctor. First I go to hell, or maybe to heaven, and then I become a doctor. And then I become an engineer, then I become a physicist, then I become this or become that, a farmer, or, you know, or maybe I want to become the king, or maybe I want to become a general, or whatever. There's no end to it. The moment you think, you create that future. And you, the moment you think about the future, you create your next life. Is that clear? Are you aware of it? So stay in the present moment. This present moment certainly will lead to the next moment. And that's the only thing. In the present moment it's bad, you know, the next moment is most probably bad as well. If the present moment is good, you know, the next moment is good as well. If we go full of worries into our sleep, you know, and wake up the next morning, I mean, we have the same worries. We have the same thoughts, we have the same thing. And that's the same thing with our next life. If we die today, you know, I mean, how can these things change? No? Just realize, you know, when you go to sleep, you know, you wake up the next morning, yeah, hello, all the problems are there. Everything, you know, the problems, the things that you don't like, the things that you like, are still there. Tomorrow. No? If you don't get rid of them right now, are you not clear about that? Don't you really understand that? This very moment is the only moment that is real. Everything else is just daydreaming. The future is daydreaming. The past is daydreaming. I mean the past, you know, I mean if you could remember the past really well, I mean we would see so much dukkha. This situation, that situation, you know, when we went to school, when we were children, you know, when we were born, you know, we could see all this dukkha. And then, you know, and then think about our next life, you know, or making plans, you know, what I'm going to do. If I can't finish it in this life, you know, then I can finish it in the next life. So, in the next life you have other ideas. So, and we can't finish them in the next life. So there's life after life after life without a stop, without an end. I mean, just stay in the present moment and get rid of the thing. Get rid of the attachment. What is attachment? Attachment is the likes and the dislikes. To feelings, to memories, to thoughts, you know, to the body. I mean, if we try to avoid certain things, I mean, isn't that attachment? It's also attachment if you avoid things. If you avoid certain situations, it's attachment. And attachment leads to dukkha. We know that the Lord Buddha said it, the second noble truth. Attachment leads to dukkha. Desire, tanha, leads to dukkha. So if we attach to this body, if we attach to our feelings, if we attach to the future, if we attach to the past, I mean, that certainly leads to dukkha. It has to lead to dukkha. We meet with the things that we don't want to meet, and we don't get what we want. Even if, you know, even if this life is nice and quite pleasant, you know, then listen to this. What did the Lord Buddha say? A human life can have at most 50% of the time sukha and 50% of the time dukkha. So, I mean, waste the 50% of your time when you think, you know, I mean, you don't have any dukkha. 50%, you know, from every hour, there's half an hour that is dukkha. At most, if we are really happy people. But most of us have just, you know, maybe just 1% of sukha. And 99% of dukkha. Some of us have 10% of sukha and 90% of dukkha. How can we not see it? How can we fool ourselves so much? It's just like the person, you know, who puts dark sunglasses on and said the sun doesn't burn, or the sun is not bright. The moment he puts off his dark glasses, I mean, he sees the scorching sun, the scorching kilesas. But we just put blinds before our eyes, you know, so that we can't see it. How is it possible if we avoid all these unpleasant situations that we can get rid of our attachment? How is that possible? I mean, the excuses that you follow, the excuses, you know, are medical excuses. You know, oh, my body is weak, you know, or this is not working, or that is not working. I mean, what did I say in the last talk? I mean, when a meditator comes here, I mean, for years and years, the only problem I hear about is the problem of the body. Body. This is not working well, that is not working well, this is hurting, that is hurting. It's too hot or it's too cold, you know, it's not just not comfortable. I mean, just 50 years ago or 60 years ago, there was no air conditioning anywhere. I mean, the people survived. I mean, even in the heat, you know, in the sweat, you know, that in the humidity, I mean, they all survived. Now we are fooled by all these comfort things. A nice bed, you know, that actually makes our body ache, you know. Nice mattress. I mean, you get up, you know, and you feel your whole body aches. When you sleep on the hard floor, you know, after 1 or 2 years, you have never backache anymore. No, because it's comfortable, it's so soft, I mean, that is the way of the kilesa. So comfortable, you know, putting on the air conditioning, you know, sitting in a house, you know, where we don't hear any sounds of the nature, you know. Getting estranged from the nature. And things like that. Having a bed, having a car, you know, we don't have to walk, you know, we don't have to exercise the body. And the less we exercise the body, I mean, the more likely it is that the body becomes sick. We don't give it the proper food because, you know, of all this junk food that is around and things like that. No? Because it tastes so nice.
I'm sorry, but this talk here ends abruptly. The talk would have gone on for another 40 minutes, but due to a technical error, the rest of the talk was erased.